Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I would like to invite you to stay with me. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, some education, and we do it without any manipulation. That's because we don't have hidden agendas. We're not trying to recruit you. We're not trying to sell you anything. This show is simply about trying to give you accurate information. Information that will help you, I pray, it will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life. So if you're listening this morning, thank you. Maybe this is your first time to ever hear the Flatline. FLOT is an interesting word. It's a military acronym for the Forward Line of Troops, F-L-O-T, Forward Line of Troops. You know, anytime the United States military deploys into a foreign battle arena, they always have to have a main line of resistance or a FLOT line, Forward Line of Troops. We're using this as a spiritual analogy to the Christian life. That's not unusual. Paul used military analogies in the Bible. So what we're saying is there are at least 10 unique problem-solving devices found in the Bible. 10 that we teach here on this show. We identify. They're nothing new. This is not some new discovery or something that I made up. They're just simply 10 wonderful problem-solving devices God the Father gave us by means of the Holy Spirit and the Word. And when we learn them and use them, then we can execute the Christian life to the fullest of its potential, and we do not ever have to have any stress. Adversity is always inevitable, but stress is optional. So by learning these problem-solving devices, you can stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside sources of stress. So that's the premise of our show, teaching around those 10 unique problem-solving devices. Rebound, which is the filling of the Holy Spirit. Rebound is how we recover from sin. That's problem-solving device number one. Rebound, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. The second problem-solving device is the filling of the Holy Spirit. That solves the problem of human good and our genetically formed sin nature. And we are mandated in the Bible in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. And then the faith rest drill, standing on the promises of God, utilizing the promises of God. As Moses told the Jews when they came out of Egypt, stand still and watch what God's about to do. So that's the faith rest drill. We've taught hours on each one of these things. And we go through grace orientation. We go through biblical orientation, two more problem-solving devices. Then we go through having a personal sense of destiny, understanding God's will and plan for your life. We go through personal love for God, which is a phenomenal motivating virtue in your life. Impersonal love for others, which is a phenomenal problem-solving device in your life, sharing the happiness of God and occupation with Jesus Christ. That's nothing new that someone's never taught before, but it's never been taught in that way before. My pastor did this years ago when he pastored his church. He came up with this and gave me permission to reteach it. And so I'm not teaching you something that I developed. I'm teaching you something that he developed many years ago. But it's an amazing truth that if you will learn these unique problem-solving devices, you can stop the outside source of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. And if you learn these problem-solving devices and use them, you will be able to function in the Christian life, execute the Christian life till its fullest, and actually represent Jesus Christ to your family and your friends as you begin to think like Christ thought. So it's imperative that you understand this. There's something else that's imperative, too, that I want to cover with you today. I think it's essentially imperative in the times in which we live. So if you're a regular listener to The Flatline, and I know many of you are, I keep getting letters and cards and encouragement from people all across the country. So I want you to listen very carefully. We live in what I consider to be strange times in history. Anybody with any sense that doesn't have their head in a hole in the ground like some ostrich, well, we know that there's weird stuff going on. And you can see a shift or a change in the attitude of many Americans within this country. Many Americans are concerned about the future and what's going to happen in the future. While a lot of young people that I meet and a lot of young people that I observe have no concern and no interest at all. They're just concerned about what's playing at the movie this weekend or who they're going to date this weekend or what the fish will bite next week. Or they don't think about the future. They don't even think about the country. They just think about themselves and their lives and their job and their wives and their children. They have. Is it me or is it just weird that the older you get, the more you become concerned about the future of this nation, as far as an American goes? And so today I want to talk to you about this very thing. I want to talk to you about understanding the future. And where I want to go with this is in Matthew 24. Our Lord Jesus Christ had just been tested by three different groups of people in this passage. He had been tested by the Herodians, which was actually a Jewish political party. He had been tested by the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and now he has taken the disciples, and he's gone up on a mountain, and he's beginning to talk to them and answer questions about the end times. And they're asking him, when are these things going to happen, and what's going to take place? And so this is what Jesus says, Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. Jesus answered and said to them, and that's concerning the future and what's going to take place, take heed that no man deceive you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in many places. All of these are just the beginning of sorrows. All right, now let's back up just for a minute. Be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. These things that he's referring to are events that must happen in the church age before the rapture of the church takes place. The next historical event in prophecy is the rapture of the church, the exit resurrection, the removal of the body of Christ before the tribulation begins. If you know anything about dispensational theology, you understand we live in the church age. We do not live in the Old Testament. And the church age terminates with the exit resurrection or the rapture of the church. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 speaks about this. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we evermore be with the Lord. And once the body of Christ is removed from the earth, then we know the Antichrist shows up, and we know the tribulation begins, that period of 666, that 7 years of final Jewish history, before the second coming of Christ takes place. And when the second coming of Christ takes place, that's when we begin the millennial reign of Jesus Christ after the horrible battle of Armageddon. So I'm not here to teach you all of the biblical prophecy, but just to make these points. Take heed and do not be deceived. Take heed and do not be deceived. These things, all of these things that he mentioned, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, it's all going to happen. Now, you cannot interpret history in light of current events, or you're going to mess up. Just understand, these are the beginnings of sorrows. These are the labor pains. So these things that Jesus is referring to are the general trends of the church age. It's not the science of the tribulation. The disciples and Jesus, again, let me remind you, they're standing on the Mount of Olives, they're overlooking Jerusalem, and those disciples have been asking questions. So now the Lord is going to help them interpret history. And that's the history in regards to the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. So let me give you a simple, basic principle that would be good for you to remember at any time. To be able to interpret contemporary history is to be able to apply the Word of God or Bible doctrine to any situation. In other words, you must understand what the Bible is talking about, what the Bible is saying, and not try to draw your own conclusions. Secondly, every believer must understand contemporary history and evaluate history as it unfolds in front of him or before him. So don't try to make current events fit into Bible prophecy. It won't work that way. Don't try to do that. Excuse me. And we must, number three, we must all be able to learn from future history, and that's called eschatology or biblical prophecy. We must all be able to learn from future history what is the next great prophetic event. And as I told you, it's the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. All right, you got those three concepts down? Let me repeat them for you. To be able to interpret contemporary history is to be able to apply the Word of God or Bible doctrine to any situation. Number two, every believer must understand contemporary history and evaluate history as it unfolds before him. And number three, we also must be able to learn from future history or eschatology concerning the next biblically prophetic events that will be coming down the pipe. So now let's go to our passage. Jesus said, take heed. Take heed. You know we like to go to the original Greek manuscript. You know we like to take these words from the Greek and show you how they're transliterated into the English. And so we have a present active imperative in this verb, take heed. The actual Greek word is blepo, B-L-E-P-O. And there are a couple of Greek words for look. One is blepo, one is horao. Blepo means to have understanding, insight, or discernment. So without the Word of God, without Bible doctrine, you will fall into Operation Sucker. You will be suckered into believing a lie. And when it's a present active imperative, the neat thing about these verbs is they all show action. And the durative present means there never is a time in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ that you are not to have insight and understanding. That's why God gave you a Bible. And the active voice says yes, that you produce the action of the verb. Not someone else. You do it. You're the active voice. And the imperative mood is the mood of command. It's not request. It's the commander's intent. So we are to always be aware or discern what's coming down the pipe and what we're going through. So that means we must understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord, that He controls all history. Maybe that's a new thought for you. Maybe you've never heard that before. Jesus Christ controls history. Where would I get that from? How could I make a statement like that? Well, I'm taking that directly from Colossians 1:16-19. Listen as I read it to you. For by Him were all things created, things that are in heaven, things that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And verse 17, Colossians 1, He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Verse 18, He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. So He is the reason that we're even here. He created all things. All things, listen, I'm reading it. All things were created by Him. All things were created for Him. He's before all things. And by Him all things consist. So the key to understanding history, both past history and future history and contemporary history, is to understand that Jesus Christ controls history. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, spoke in times past unto the fathers of the prophets, and he hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Now listen carefully. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So who made this world? Jesus Christ. He controls history. He's the creator. He's the one that created it, put it together. He controls history directly by means of his divine power. He is God. And he controls history indirectly through certain safeguards which don't overlap. And these are called dispensations. So God works different ways in different dispensations. To understand that, look at the Old Testament and remember that in the Old Testament, there was no filling of the Holy Spirit. There was only the undoing, the endowment of the Holy Spirit, and it could be taken away. But today, as believers in Christ, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. So once you believe in Jesus Christ, you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit or baptized by means of the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and you're sealed by the Spirit, according to Ephesians 1:13, and you will never lose the Holy Spirit, but you can lose the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's where rebound is essential. When you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit, and you grieve the Holy Spirit. When you rebound, problem-solving device number one, as per 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. When you use that, you instantly regain the filling of the Holy Spirit. So working indirectly through these safeguards, making sure that each dispensation has its own beginning and its own ending. And the church age will end. We are in the church. It will end. The church will be removed. The body of Christ will be removed. And we will go into that final seven-year period of history. It's called Daniel's 70th week, and that's called the tribulation. Each period in history stands alone in history. It's a dispensation. Now, that's why the Bible details how this earth will end, and the Bible details why it began. So don't be suckered into buying into this concept that some meteorite's going to come strike the earth and kill everybody, or that some plague is going to sweep over the earth and kill everybody, or that there's going to be a nuclear war and everybody's going to be destroyed. That is not how the Bible says the world comes to an end. It's so easy to get suckered into this. It's so easy to get suckered into believing that aliens are flying around in outer space, watching and controlling everything that we do. It makes good movies. It sells good books. It's a money-making machine. People are suckers. They want to know the future. They want to know what's coming down the pipe. And it's all in the Bible. But you see, that's too simple. They don't want to know the Bible. So remember that our Lord is speaking with the disciples, and they're a little bit confused by all the things he's been telling them. The death of their leader is going to really shake them up. But when he walks out of that grave alive, that's going to shock them back to reality. So the principle is it's imperative that you become a student of history, especially contemporary history. And why do I say that? Very simply, your confidence and your relaxed mental attitude is required to endure the coming events that you will face in your lifetime. You must understand the faith rest drill and the byproducts of the faith rest drill, which are a relaxed mental attitude. It's happiness in spite of circumstances. Because if you don't learn the scriptures, you will not be able to correctly evaluate contemporary history. You can read newspapers, and you can watch television, and you will only confuse yourself and get angry over what you see, because you will not be able to directly, correctly interpret what's going on. The inability that people have to correctly evaluate history is a major distraction in the lives of a lot of Christians, because it leads them into crusader arrogance and religious self-righteousness. Crusader arrogance. Remember, you cannot clean up the devil's world. You can go out and march in front of the dirty bookstores. You can proclaim that you don't want the liquor store selling liquor anymore, and you can go on a rampage to stop all the sin in the United States. You can't do it. That's not your job. You're not here to clean up the devil's world. You are here to effectively represent Jesus Christ, not to be a crusader and to think that you're going to change history by marching down the street. But there are a lot of people that would like to suck you into that. Operation Sucker, here we go again, because you can make a difference. The biggest difference you can make is to learn God's Word, to grow to spiritual maturity, to become an invisible hero for Jesus Christ, and to represent Him in your lifetime. That's called being a member of the pivot. And as a member of the pivot, a core group of mature believers in a nation, you will deliver the nation from the incoming disaster. When God delivered Israel with Gideon, He didn't need thousands. He just needed a few. And America doesn't need 25 million mature believers. We just need about 3 million mature believers. Now, here's my question. Are there 3 million mature believers in America? We got roughly 350 million people. Do we have 10% of that mature believers? I don't think so. So we're in trouble. Studying God's Word on a consistent basis under, and I say under, a qualified pastor. You hear me harp on this all the time. And observing history as it unfolds. That'll give you a tremendous stability in your life. It'll give you understanding. And you can have a relaxed mental attitude no matter what crisis you see coming or what crisis you go through. So it's imperative that you take heed, that you understand there is no disaster in the world that can remove you from life unless it's God's predetermined time for you to go. Now, wouldn't it be great to meet disaster with a relaxed mental attitude, to actually be able to think and not panic, to be able to move through the disaster and see history unfold on a master plan? You know, ironically, had the Jewish leaders interpreted history correctly, they might not have crucified their Messiah had they interpreted Isaiah 53 correctly. So to know where you're going and how to get there is essential if you want to have a relaxed Christian life, because there are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. When the Bible says that you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, it really means just that. Now, listen, you can take in 5 cc's, using a medical term here. You can take in 5 cc's of Bible doctrine per day, or 100 cc's of Bible doctrine per day. I mean, that's up to you. Or you can take in none. But if you take in the Word of God, it will inoculate you. It will insulate you. It will energize you and give you tremendous insight. So the rate of growth in any believer's life is directly related to the amount of study and application in his life. Therefore, without a pastor, without you sitting under a qualified pastor and taking in God's Word daily, with you trying to buy little daily devotionals and you trying to figure it out on your own, I mean, it'll be a miracle if you ever reach spiritual maturity. This is why God gave men this gift. This is why God equipped these men. And there are men that have tremendous teaching ministries. And you can learn even in your own home if you're not close to them. You can get their tapes, and you can get their books, and you can study in your own kitchen or in your own den. This is exactly what I do. Every day I get up. Every day I put on a DVD, and every day I watch my pastor teach me the Word of God. And then I may come here and reteach some of it to you. But I have to learn. I have to be fed. I'm a sheep just like you. And without a shepherd, we're going to wander around lost. Hebrews 5 says this in verse 11 through 14. We have many things to say, and they're hard to be uttered because you're dull of hearing. I don't know who wrote that. Apollos? Paul? Maybe? I don't know. But he says this, for when for the time you ought to be a teacher, you now have need that one come back and teach you again the very first principles of the oracles of God. You have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of God. He's a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, I could give you a test right here and give you a blue book and say, describe good and evil and the difference between them. Because you see, both good and evil are bad. Good, or human good, is rejected by God. There are none that are good, no, not one. And evil is the genius plan of Satan that counterfeits grace. And it's easy to avoid evil, but it's easy to get sucked into good. And so the Word of God is imperative. You must not be deceived. You must take responsibility for your decisions. You must focus on the content of the Word of God and not the man. Only the Holy Spirit can help you discern false concepts and religious legalism. So when the Bible warns you about certain men, it's implying that there are indeed false teachers and others that will try to mislead you in regards to contemporary events in history. And if you buy into that fact that disaster is coming and you need to arm yourself and store up food and resources, and that's fine. Remember, only God can give you what you need when the time comes. And in disaster, it's doctrine in your soul that will deliver you and give you the ability to relax. So quit leaning on others, stand on your own two feet, and learn God's Word. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.